Hello, Michael.
Hey, we're just getting started. We'll be right with you. Vibrate a little bit with, wow, these beautiful sounds from these crystal bowls recorded in the year 2007. Wow. And I know that we have a couple folks with us. Let's just open up the lines and say howdy. I'll start, say, this is Michael Wolf. I'm in Austin. My feeling word is crisp. I feel crisp like the weather. And who do we have at 469?
Hi, Michael. This is Paul Rabin in Austin.
Hey, Paul. Good to be with you.
Thank you, my friend.
Yes, sir. It's great to meet you this week, and I'm really glad to have you with us today. And Maha, how are you doing?
I am good. I am good. Welcome, Paul. Let's see. The way I feel right now is patient and compassionate, like being gently with me.
Well, I that sounds awfully healthy to me. It's a much different place when I can be compassionate with myself. And Paul, did you have a key word, a feeling word that you'd like to share with us today? How are you feeling?
Dull. Dull, D-U-L-L.
No,
not to be a downer. It's not a downer. It's just what is, but kind of dull.
All right. Well, you know what I appreciate? I appreciate the honesty, and that is the path to the kingdom, and it is so awesome to be with you. By the way, Paul, if you haven't already done so, and for those of you who may be listening to us in the archives, if you would download the latest version of the ebook. If you have access to a browser, you can go to Empowering Now. That's empoweringnow.com. And if you navigate to the Open Meetings tab, you'll see a bullet point about a quarter of the way down the page that says download the Paradise Circle ebook. And so we'll use that in our exploration today. And if you do happen to have some background noise, if you wouldn't mind muting so that we could optimize the quality of our recording. So with that being the case, let's go ahead and begin with our ritual reading on page 3. Welcome to the Paradise Circle, a gathering of ordinary people doing shadow work to come to know ourselves and solve everyday problems. Our inquiry is based on the idea that the word is alive, not dead, and that language is where our power lives. Known as the path of expire, this inquiry is radical as it transmits the courage to hear the soul of perennial truths, fully surrender. Once received, we are in our voice, empowering the now. Each time we honestly engage in this unlearning, the cosmos rejoices. Each time we participate, we do renew the understanding that, hey, there is only one of us. We thereby increase our capacity to love what is and to sustain the sense of enough. Yeah, I'm touched by the word honestly engage, and it goes along with Paul's comment just about, hey, I'm feeling dull right now, and that honesty, to just call it as it is at this time, is the pathway to the entire tree of life. Welcome, Verena. I think that's you. How are you doing today?
I am doing great, thank you.
Good, 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 good. Good to be with you, V. Would you like to share a feeling word with Paul and Maha and Michael?
My word would be brilliant.
Nice. If I'm not mistaken, V, that's like the second time in a row that you've been brilliant.
Well, some things aren't changing right now. That's good.
That's great. That is so awesome to hear. All right. So we've got a journey today that is it's interesting. For those of you that attempted to tune in with us on Thursday, we had some technical difficulties. We got shut down about 15, 20 minutes into the program. And so the place where we are today is absolutely circled on a map. We've got a couple of new things that we've brought into our conversation booklet. And perhaps the best thing for us to start with are our circle agreements. Let's see, Verena or Maha, do one of you guys want to walk us through the circle agreements today?
Verena, the brilliant one will do it for us.
However, the brilliant one is not with my ebook right now.
Hey, that's
well,
okay.
Well, do you remember them? Well, it's okay. All right, so page 4 are agreements, and pretty much the line of colors are just for now to make it easy on, think of it as an organizing tool, and at some point we will see what the tool is about. So the shadow work is an invitation to empty the cup, even break it, so as to Kabbalah or receive wisdom power. And the agreements that keep us safe are as follows. Number 1, permission. I trust this when the dark night of the soul moves me into fight, flight, freak, or freeze. I am here to risk entering the darkness so as to bring light on how my misusing power prevents the force from being with me. So that agreement right in this moment touches me deeply, because right now I am doing the best I can to embrace what my last misuse of power created. So, first of all, Paul, Verena, any relationship, anything in that agreement that touches you?
Well, for me, like last week also, everyone, surrender.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hitting the wall on surrender.
I totally get that. Yeah. Surrender to the force, to not feeling the force being with you. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
I don't know what's on the other side of surrender, Maha. Maybe that's the problem, is I keep thinking there's something, and when if I let it be nothing, it might come more easily.
I totally understand. And in the space when I am afraid, then what happens is that I'm not in surrender. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that also?
Yeah, it's always got to do with fear.
Okay. So, number 2. So first of all, first agreement, can we have a yes from everyone?
Yeah.
Yes.
Second, I own my experience. I hear the use of few words as marks of my projections. So would anyone have a quick example of the use of few words?
Yeah, you're making me angry.
Exactly. Exactly. Great, great example. Thank you, Paul.
Amen. To number
and we do have a yes on... Go
yep.
ahead.
I was just saying amen.
Yeah. Number three, growing pain, where I default to comfort places, I invite change, and ultimately unease. My ego doesn't like this, doesn't like growing pain, it doesn't like change, it doesn't like unease. So that's a big agreement. Still yes to this?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
Four, presence. I do my utmost to stay in my body and not go into a void dance. The dance of the void. So that's a tough one, too. Like, you know, when I'm in pain, when I'm in fighting, I definitely want to flight at some point. I want to go away. So how does that feel to you? Is it a yes to do our utmost to stay present?
Amen.
Yeah.
Okay,
yes.
Confidentiality by request is when I can't live with a wide open shame closet. So, you know, I may have a costume of a liar, or I may have a costume of an adulterer, or I may have a costume of a thief, or I may have a costume of a mistress of the dark and power abuser. Confidentiality by request simply says, you know, ask for confidentiality as long as you're afraid and ashamed of the costume in your closet. And the goal is to, when we're close to Halloween, is to actually wear it publicly. No more shame. So is there yes to that?
Amen.
Yes.
Okay. And clearing space. I check my assumption when I think that something is off. So that's, you know, that can be a tricky one because, like, I may notice that you've become serious and take that personally, and I may check that with you, whether that's true or not. But I can force you to want to check assumption with me. So if that's the case, that someone with whom something is off is not willing to clear space with you, that may happen, then what I do is to check my assumptions with me, such as, you know, that person should communicate with me because I should communicate with me. So, does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Yes.
And this is Michael. I have a comment on this one. I'm continually amazed with how often I check assumptions, and what I get back is the opposite of what I checked. And,
yeah,
you know, it's really interesting how that story of I draw a conclusion based upon what I'm reading in the outer. And truly, I mean, it's either the person sometimes, and there have been times where I sense the person was being dishonest, but other times when I'm checking them, I'm like, wow, I totally missed it. You know, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I totally hear that. And that brings us to, and I just would like to do the beginning of page 5 and not take us through the whole thing, because it touches directly to what both Paul and you, Michael, were just saying. And page 5 starts with the same line of colors. Again, at some point they'll become clearer. For now, just accept them. And it says, surrender is the goal. And when I can't fully accept me, you, it, in the now, I use the understandings below to strengthen the foundation of my integrity. And the one that I heard you address, Michael, into what you said is honesty. It's amazing what a little bit of honesty with my own contractions can bring up in terms of relaxation and surrender. So honesty is the cornerstone of communication. I can simply look at the results of my words to see if there is an alignment between what I say I want and what I actually have. When there is an alignment, I'm telling the truth. So would anyone like to share a place where they're not aligned to honesty?
Yeah, this is Paul. Where I want things to be different.
You want things to be different?
Mm-hmm. And I
okay.
don't even know what it is. That's why I think I use the word dull. It's just this dull sense of wanting things to be different and not even knowing what that means.
Okay. And you don't know whether it is with your family or your friends or your career or your health, you have no idea of what area that is in?
I would say it's purpose.
Okay. All right. Like, you want to know what your purpose is?
Well, I wouldn't say it that way, but yeah, I wouldn't say it that way, Maha. I would say I'm not creating the purpose.
So what would it look like if you created the purpose? What would show up in your life?
I think I'd be more in action. And I think I'd be feeling, you know, more joy from being in purpose.
Okay. So I heard you say two things. The first one is I would be more active. And the second is feel more joy.
Yeah.
Okay. And when you're saying more active, what would you see yourself do? Like what activity?
I would say on the one hand, more music, making more music. I would say on the other hand, being more out there for others and lost in the service for others.
Okay. So how about if we pick the music and see where that goes? Would you be willing?
Yeah, I would.
Okay. So what I'm hearing is a part of me wants to create more music or go express through my music as a musician, and another part of me is blocking it. Would you say that that's accurate?
Yes, I would.
Okay. And so when you have the belief that I should make music and I don't want to, how does that feel?
Dull.
Exactly. That's exactly right. Now, what would happen if you could give yourself the permission to not make music when you don't want to make music?
The fear I never will.
Yeah, but you see, the fear comes out of I should make music. Then you feel dull, and what's under that is I'm afraid that this is never going to happen for me, right?
It's never going to happen, and when it does, I can't count on it the next time, and sometimes it's just not good enough.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of fear in that, isn't it? Yeah. And who told you you were not good enough? Like, go back to your childhood. Where did that start?
That's a really great question, Maha. You know, one I've dealt with for the years here that I've been alive. My tendency is to blame a parent.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, in a way we all do. In other words, our parents all made the best that they could. But, you know, when I am sad and like in fight, flight, freak or freeze, when I'm in that place, it's very hard for me to not hurt my friends. Have you noticed the same thing? Or perceived that my shadow is going to hurt them? Have you noticed that? In other words, how hard it is to not feel good.
So what you're asking, Maha, is when in a, you know, in a dull, shadowy place,
yeah,
that I'm afraid that being genuine would hurt someone else?
Well, if I'm in a dull, shadowy place, whatever it is that I do, whether it is raising my children, talking to my friends, doing music, whatever I do has this sense of offness to it. Have you noticed?
A sense of what?
Offness.
You say that word? Usness?
Being off. Something
off.
Is off. It's like not on.
Yeah.
And
the
know,
light's not on.
Yeah. And my parents had way more way less emotional intelligence than I did. And
mm-hmm.
it's still hard for me. Can you get that?
Mm-hmm.
So it is likely that your parents, although they meant the best, have abused you a number of times by not knowing what to do when they were in the shadow.
Yeah, I get that. And I'm not here to like get a sense of closure on that or anything, because I just really don't think that's the answer. It's like answering a bad question. If I'm trying to
yes
answer the question,
no,
how do I forgive someone for doing something to me? I'm not asking the right question.
Yes and no. And here's what I mean. Yes, because there's no one out there. There's only one of us. Okay? So it can't be your parents' fault. And moreover, there is nothing wrong. So there's many levels to where what you're saying is truth. There is also a level to where we can use the projection to learn about ourselves. So would that be okay to give you an example out of my life?
Please.
All right. So, for example, for years I have had the thought that my mother shouldn't have been so controlling, and she was a very, like, this is the way it is, and that's what you're going to do, you know. So she was really good at that, controlling. But then what I am seeing increasingly is how I do that. In other words, I'm trying to control her, controlling me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that judgment of my mother helps me know myself when I accept that judgment is bullshit. Does that make better sense?
Yeah, it is bullshit.
Yeah. But it can help us look into ourselves. It's like a mirror.
Yeah, but in order for that to work, I have to have made some sort of agreement similar to what we looked at before. In other words, I have to be willing to take on, A, I own my experience. I give myself permission to experience the contraction. I'm willing to grow from the unease of that projection, stay present with it, you know, check assumptions. That all of the permissions and agreements come in directly into that conversation.
Right on. Right on. So where would all of us like to go? You know, we can use this, I should make music, and I'm afraid that I'm not good enough. We could deepen that. We could use one of the pages of the book to deepen that, and or we can go somewhere else. What would be your pleasure?
Well, I mean, our newsletter this week talked about surrender and rest, this idea on page 7, and I feel like we could link exactly what Paul brought, if he's willing for us to leverage that conversation, to look at the distinctions between what it is to have an understanding of what was brought in what page 7 brings. So that would be my suggestion.
You know, I'm so glad you said that. I had completely forgotten. I was thinking of another page, and now, thank you for grounding me, Michael Wolf, you're the best. So how about if you take us to page 7 and see if we can help both of us, all of us, to surrender our judgments and other shoulds on ourselves and others.
I mean, it's pretty much exactly what Paul brought, so I see it as a huge cosmic wink. Thank you, Paul, for acknowledging, you know, I don't know if you happen to have read ahead,
yeah,
done homework or not, but this was the topic that was preordained by the universe, and here you are.
Amen. So let's do it.
And Paul, I'm assuming you do have a copy of the ebook, is that right?
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now, Surrender and Rest.
Yeah. So would you take us through the first paragraph, maybe? Just read that paragraph out loud.
The six stages climax in the realization that God is indeed a geometer. As the sixth circle forms, the consciousness of Shabbat, the seventh day of rest, appears as a core seed. Hebrew Shabbat for rest comes from the Sumerian sabbatu for heat rest. It is the pause that the moon takes when full, since at that time it is neither increasing nor decreasing. While I rest or be in pause while creating,
Let's look at the first part. So what did you notice? How did you receive that? What's your input on what you just read?
Well, I'll tell you exactly what came to my mind, but you guys are all going to think this is pretty screwy. But, you know, I like math, and so I thought of integral calculus and how at some point you can make statements like that within the rules, the agreements of that kind of math. So that's what came to my head. Let me think something else because that's kind of impersonal.
No, it's actually interesting because of what we're looking at. I felt it very cleanly. In other words, what I'm hearing out of what you spoke is it's a math-based conversation at some level that you were inferring. Is that right?
Yeah, it is, Michael. It's an agreement. It's saying, okay, given the following rules, which we just accept, we're not saying they're true, but we're going to play a game like they are, that in that space, you can then say, as this happens and as that happens and as they tend towards something that it will never get to, you have nothing, or you have that rest of the moon.
Nice. Well, that's exactly what we're talking about here at virtually all levels. I mean, and as we unfold this, I trust that you'll also be equally amazed with what I sense that I'm sensing. So what do you make of the color, the connecting the what you read in the paragraph, Paul? Do you notice the way in which the text itself has that four or five words that says, as the sixth circle forms, how it's in a light blue color?
Yeah, I see that.
And then if you look at the geometry to the...
I don't
the,
know what that means.
Okay, good. So, and as you look at the geometry on the right, you
mm-hmm.
see a matching circle in the geometry?
Yeah, I do.
All right, so...
Yeah, it seems like the six circles are empty, but when they're put together, you have something in the middle.
Yeah. Maha, do you want to connect the dots here between this and maybe the prior page? Or in a way in which...
Certainly. The first sentence here speaks of six stages, okay? And it says the six stages climax in the realization that God is indeed a geometer. So the six stages that we spoke of are on the previous page. And it is that geometry has two names. One is the seed of life, and you can see the little seeds at the core of this icon. And the other is the Genesis pattern. And the reason that it is called the Genesis pattern is because, as I trust you know, the world in Genesis 1 was created in 6 days. So far, so good, Paul?
Say that again, Maha, please.
The reason why this geometry is called the Genesis pattern is because it illustrates how in Genesis 1 the story is that the world was created in 6 days. Okay?
Uh-huh. Yes.
So that's what it looks like. And what mm-hmm. we are saying is because we create our world by the use of our words. So that's what we saw with honesty. Communication is not what is said and done, but the result. Here I am, I want to make music, and I'm not aligned to let there be music, and there was music. This is not happening for me. Okay? So I'm looking at how communication is a result and how the words create a world. And therefore, it is not that the world was created in 6 days, but more that the word was created in 6 days. Does that make sense to you, Paul?
Yeah, it, it does make sense to me because the world is created by the word.
Exactly. So now, when you look at the colors of page 6, both of the inner seeds and the outer circles, then you can understand that those lines of colors are taking you through the 6 days and or stages of what I create with a specific word. Okay.
Yes, and I also see the overlap generates something different.
Exactly.
Brilliant. Now you're talking.
Brilliant. So would you give me the permission to roll a die for you, Paul?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Because a die conveniently has 6 faces, you know. And we do think that God does play with dice. So, you know, if you look at the number that picked you, which is the number 4, it goes back to the pain body and to what resisting being tired, resisting being bored, resisting not feeling good. Does that make any sense to you? Does that resonate?
That absolutely does. I'm familiar with that term from Eckhart Tolle.
Yes, that's exactly right. So now if we move back to our surrender page, then you can see clearly how the 6 sphere, without the 6 circle, which is highlighted in blue here, there would never be the completion of the little seed inside by which the 7 circle is drawn. Does that make sense?
Yes, that does. All
okay.
The circles have to contribute their overlaps.
Yes. Now, in the Bible, it's like Genesis 2 now, and God rested from the work that he has done, and the work that he had done in 6 days and declared the 7th day holy as a day of rest, and that day is the Shabbat. That's what Shabbat means. Okay. And it geometrically, this is it. When I have circled all aspects of my shadow, can you see how the little seed inside are like the colors of ignorance?
Absolutely.
Okay, so when I've circled this, when I can circle this, and I'm even understanding something I never understood.
Yeah, I got it too, Maha. It's like the way in which I circle my shadow comes out of
the,
and it's really connecting also to how the mind being reconciled in the overall Shabbat. Quite interesting.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, I came in the call with patience and I could have said sadness and that's what I was compassionate with. And just seeing that allows me to embrace my sadness. I mean, that brings me to compassion. That is what compassion is. Wow. And now I'm back in integrity with, I wish I could feel my feeling and I'm resisting sadness. And now, bless you. Thank you, Xpia. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, V. I love you guys. And thank you, all of those that are not here with us and that are here with us. So I trust, Paul, you can accept this, like, joyful enthusiasm that it's okay.
You can. I can accept that. What again, Mom?
Joyful enthusiasm.
A bubble of joyful enthusiasm that just happened here, as I understood something I had not seen before, through sharing it with you.
Are you okay
that
she's happy?
That from you. Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you, Paul. You're awesome, man.
Oh, yeah. You know, let me think about that. Do I want Maha to be happy? Yeah, I'll give it to you this morning, Maha.
You know what? I mean, this is brilliant. I love you even more, guys, because I'm just seeing that I have an assumption that my happiness is going to turn people off. That is
mm-hmm.
amazing.
Uh-huh.
Do you have that, Paul?
No.
If you're too happy,
can...
other people are going to be turned off?
Yeah, actually, I was going to say no, but yeah, because people they view it as a, they can view it as a what their assumptions. They can view it as a phony. You know, it's just playing a game, being weird. You know, all these things that would separate them from the experience that I would be having, which is, hey, look how cool and happy I'm feeling right now.
Yeah. Now, allow me to, you know, I'm imagining, I don't know nothing, I'm imagining that if you were really letting your music flow, because that's your ender too, okay? It's like if you're going to do music, you're going to have to surrender. If not, you're not doing music. And I know you know that, right?
Correct.
So if you really surrendered and let music come through you, you would be ecstatic, wouldn't you? And so I imagine that the program, My Joy is Going to Disturb People, is so profound in you that you're taking your music from you so as to not disturb other people. Could that be true, that imagination?
No, that didn't come to my mind, Maha.
I understand, but is it, could that be true, is my question.
Ah. No, I don't feel that that's true. I feel that there may be one or two people that listen to my music, and they've always been very positive. There was nothing dragging it or nothing that left me feeling, you know, anything other than, well, they enjoyed it. It's just that that's not enough.
Okay. Fine. It was just an intuitive hit.
I mean, I hear it at a different level, Paul. If I might, like, take and put the shoes on my foot for a second and imagine that this was me, at some level,
yeah.
I know that my music makes me happy. By not making music, therefore, I'm not being happy. And therefore, at some unconscious level, I may be doing what Maha's inferring. It's not so much a conscious thing. And I don't know if that's true for you, but I imagine it might apply at some level. I heard the question a little bit broader than perhaps maybe I heard you hearing it, but maybe
yeah.
I'm off.
Yeah, and it brings to me the quote that many of us love and resonate with, which is from Marianne Williamson. Our greatest fear is to be powerful, brilliant, and talented, and ecstatic beyond measure. I know it's my greatest fear, and I'm hearing Verena for the second time checking in was brilliant and, like, really going for her ecstasy, for her power, which is creative power. So just, you know, see how that idea may live in you, that you may actually block your music because you're afraid of being too powerful, too happy, too talented. You know, just see how it lives in you. Would that be acceptable?
Yeah, it brings up exposing myself.
Yes.
Yep.
Exactly.
And there's your shadow colors right there, Maha. That's the perfect connection to the circling of the shadow.
Yes. Yes. This is so awesome and so healthy. My attention is on you. Would you like to add your perspective, what you feel about what's being said?
I would love to, and thank you for being a part of our circle, Paul. I was definitely feeling the connection to, for many years, withholding, the allowing myself to have my own art, my own creativity, my own voice, and I always made it about my daughter or made it about other people, about what they should or shouldn't do, and just it's been an amazing process to realize, it's really for me, and it's no one's business, you know, it's my business. So that's been a real letting go there to just be open to that possibility and to find a way to embrace it. But this is really a beautiful thing, and there is no judgment in the space. It just, there it is. If I let myself connect with my soul, I will create. It'll be unstoppable.
Yep. Exactly. And, you know, I'm feeling like you rolled the number 4, Paul. And first of all, how touched are you, or what touches you in what Verena was offering?
That there's a sacrifice that needs to be made in order to do the art or do the, excuse me, or do the music. That sacrifice is practice. It's time.
That
it's intention.
Sacrifice is what?
It's the time and attention to practice. It's work. You have to play scales.
True.
And so when Verena was talking, that's what came to me, is there's a component of the work to the art that Verena produces, or all of us produce, that is not pleasurable. It brings up shadow. It brings up, okay, for 1 hour, I got to do this.
Okay.
In order to learn something, in order to then use it. Does that make sense?
Totally. And what brings to mind for me when I hear you, this is work. And you're right. It's like if you want to be a painter, you got to paint. If you want to be a writer, you got to write. If you want to be a seamstress, you have to sew. There's like a price to pay for the mastery of a trade. And I really appreciate that, truly. And my question is a bit different. My question is like, do you know the expression being in the zone?
Yes.
Okay. Now, let's take an area like exercise, okay? Some people, when they run, they report being in the zone. I'm sure you heard that before. And that click of being in the zone when you run is exactly when it stops being work. In other words, the body is still running. That doesn't change. But what changes is the thought, I gotta do this. I gotta do this. I gotta do this. And what happens is something else, a part inside me, takes over and does the work for me. Do you get that?
I get that. And the zone, at least for me, and I'm wondering everyone else on our call, is it's a thoughtless zone. There's no thinking.
Exactly.
It is truly being. It's a being, not a doing.
Exactly. Well, you could call that Shabbat. That's what this surrender and rest is and what we are offering is that the goal is to be there 24/7. So that doesn't change that you got to work at your trade. That doesn't change that you got to exercise the body. That doesn't change that you got to pay the bills. But the gotta thinking disappears, making the action pure and way more successful. Because if you take the example of the runner that forces himself to run versus the runner that is in ecstasy because there is no thinking, it is obvious that the result of the run, when there is no thinking, benefits the body at a much bigger level. That is obvious. There's even some scientific studies on that.
Yeah, I mean, there's already been proven that if I put myself into that mental state, the body receives the same, in many ways, the same benefits.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it
exactly.
really, and it's all an invitation back to communication. Like, if I say that I want to be a master coach, I show up and I practice my art. If I say I want to be a chef, I sharpen my knives, I clean my kitchen, I buy the best possible organic vegetables, likewise if I want to do art. And this is how it comes directly back to communication. When I know that I'm practicing and I'm doing it out of the joy because my heart says, look, dude, I want to play music, and that's what I heard from Paul. It's like, man, I love
yeah.
playing music. That's really what
yeah.
is part of who I am. And when I do that and I practice, it automatically removes it. So we're looking at the mental construct that stands in the way, whatever it is that I haven't circled to include as a part of my shadow, to really understand that communication, because there's a payoff there, and that's where our understanding of ignorance and how the fighting keeps me from the surrender and the knowledge of who I am.
Yeah. Yeah, this is Bren. I did want to just chime in also with the, I heard Paul say the concept of the sacrifice. I heard, yes, we have to sacrifice the ego.
Yeah, exactly. I have to give
the
up
ego
on
like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Beauty. So the other thing that comes to me is your role number 4, Paul. And there's like, if you look at your particular way that you don't surrender is by wrestling with that thought, I should play music, I shouldn't be. It's like there's a wrestling with it. Can you sense that in your body?
Oh, yeah. The wrestling goes with, I'm not getting to the next level.
Yeah, I'm not good enough. Right? I'm a disappointment to myself. I'm not good enough. Something like that?
Yeah. Good enough to be free about it and just enjoy it for
yeah.
what it is. I don't deserve it, maybe.
Yeah. So, you see, surrender would be to trust, be in your body. And just sense, like right now, what sensation do you have when you think the thought, I'm not good enough, I'm not doing this? Where do you sense it in your body?
I sense it everywhere. It's a sense of things being small. It's a sense of being encapsulated, constrained. It's a sense of not being, you know, knowing from meditation that sense of spaciousness that you can sometimes
yeah.
experience when you're
yeah.
in the zone, and as soon as you think about it, it's gone.
Yeah, but like, just like as you're speaking now, I'm like sensing my neck and my throat, you know. Do you have any body sensation that you're aware of?
Nervousness. feels like nervousness connecting my eyes to my stomach for whatever reason that is, but it's almost a sense of like a lampshade that a fatigue, almost like pulling the lampshade down on my eyes and energy, and
huh.
And then what is active is just nervousness.
God. So can you give that sensation permission to just be there? Can you just, you know?
Yeah, and as soon as I give it permission, Maha goes away.
Oh!
Thank you, God.
And you're no longer wrestling.
And notice what the sensitivity
I think
does.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, look at what's on the other side of the wrestling, Paul. In brown, the word is sensitivity. And the moment that you allowed yourself to be sensitive to what you were noticing in the pain body, you can sense the actual body. It went away.
Yep.
Yeah, the actual body just is.
Yeah.
Yep.
Except when I resist it, it's the pain body. And that's the whole point with
yeah.
this including of the shadow that we're inviting, is that I'm either going to be in ignorance, which starts out as a screech, where my voice is saying, I should be doing my music right now. Then my mind becomes split, and it says, damn, I'm no good. I ought be doing it, and I'm not, to a lost soul, where I resist my feelings. And as I resist my feelings, my body becomes a pain body. And if I continue long enough, my
yes.
heart becomes broken. I just am constantly fencing with life. I'm hating life. And then ultimately, I end up in a forsaken spirit. And that ignorance color code that we just looked at represents all of those inner intersections of that geometry that you highlighted so beautifully, and how that the outer circles, which is our knowledge, colors, really enable us to include those shadow elements that are there waiting for us to do an inquiry that we can trust. And when I trust it, guess what? It just becomes completely, it goes away. We're enlightened. There's nothing else to do. It's happening
Amen.
Through us, not by us.
Yep. Yep. And then I'm
yeah,
feeling
that.
On again instead of off.
Well, we're dancing, playing with surrender, and the other side of that somehow is trust.
Well, yeah, I mean, trust is part of it. What we're looking at here in terms of our understanding that we're inviting, and again, this is not thou shalt, but an invitation that if I really want to understand a word, in this case, the word that we've been looking at is surrender. On the other side of surrender is fighting. And fighting follows that same dream code pattern that we just looked at with the screech. You know, it starts out with, if I'm fighting, it starts out where I'm provoking, and then it moves into the red of contrasting. And from there, my soul is grappling. My body is wrestling, which was what you drew, was the four. My heart is fencing. And my forsaken spirit is checkmating, looking to literally get others into a checkmate. That's fighting. Whereas surrender begins with integrity. And from that integrity, we can now move into the green spirit, the victory, that comes from taking responsibility. And out of that acknowledgement of the spiritual unity, I can begin to have a heart, the red, on the lower line that's open. And that if my heart is open, my body can begin to get really sensitive. As you were willing to do from honesty today, you were willing to check into the physical sensations. And that is what opens our soul to altruism. And that's really a part of surrender. And until finally I have a
yeah.
mind that's clear and can include all of that shadow that I had projected onto others, then, when my mind is clear, I get the Shabbat. I get the heat rest that makes the whole thing beautiful, including the shadow.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so, because you said at the beginning of the call, you spoke of, I want to be of service, and it's a very noble intention and vision. And what I find for me is that the service that I offer is much more real when I am connected and when I know that I'm in the zone, that God is doing the doing, not me. That is when the greatest art or music can be made. And if music is your service to the world, I have to sense that you know that when you let go is when it really gets beautiful. So the other part that touches me in this discussion is the fact that you chose wrestling or your soul, the synchronicity of the die bringing you to wrestling. And it makes me think of the story in the Bible of Jacob that is wrestling with the angel, and he keeps on fighting and fighting for an entire night. He fights, and then as the morning is coming, he says to the angel, I won't let you go until you tell me your name. Do you know that story, Paul?
Yes, not well, though, because I'm not very literate there, but yes, I do know that story.
All right.
That story.
So this is it. This is where the fractals are helping us naming what fighting is. And in that way, I can include it. I can embrace it. And I can, and it lets go of me.
Yeah.
So I wonder, Paul, if you would be willing to read the box at the bottom.
Yes. I'm still on surrender and rest. Will I rest or be in pause while creating? Resting is to be surrendered to the core of creation, allowing creativity to happen through me and not by me. Consider, when I know that I am not the doer, and surrender all need for reward or punishment, I stop fighting and stay enlightened.
So what touches you there?
The practice of surrender.
Yeah. And what touches me is the synchronicity of this entire conversation. You know, it's we're a little bit over today time-wise, and that's perfectly fine for us to do so. It's such a beautiful cosmic wink to have had this entire inquiry be exactly what you came with today, Paul. So thank you for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I didn't come with anything. It showed up.
Well, that's what makes it so beautiful, right? It's just witnessing,
yeah.
It's like it happened, it's witnessing it happening through us, and literally that's the space where you and I come together, and you and I and Maha and Verena and everybody that's listening comes together in this conversation that has us and has me appreciating the art of it, the beauty of our connection.
Yeah, amen. So Verena left the call with the joy of community and an exploration of how she resists provoking, being provoked. I'm really interested in my checking my assumption. Is my joy okay with you? Paul, I really appreciate that you brought this understanding to me. So, and you're being real, like Jacob turned into Israel, and Israel to me is the one who is real. I appreciate that very, very much.
And what did you receive today, Paul?
Well, connection, community, us. That's the being that I mentioned in the beginning, being of service. Mm. I mean, my conversation, what I'm saying is everybody's. So it's just putting words to it for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Well, beautiful, beautiful. Well, we look forward to seeing you again. For those of you that are listening to the archives, we do have shows coming up in November, so check us back out. And if you're in Austin, you're invited to join us in person. One more reminder, we do have our new Expire Tarot available on Google Play Store and also in the Apple iTunes Store. It'll cost you a couple few bucks, but definitely well worth it, especially as we come to understand those identities that seem to work through us as we come to know ourselves as love. So check us out, and we'll look forward to our next steps with you. Bye, everybody.
Michael Maha, thank you guys so much for making this conversation happen.
Thank you, Paul.
Awesome.
Bye.
Bye-bye, Paul. To be continued.
To be continued. Yes.